Astrid's going to come and preach in a moment, and she's starting a new teaching series that's going to take us right the way through to Easter. I wonder if you've ever had that experience that you've been in a familiar situation and yet somehow felt out of place. Have you ever been there? Or maybe you've been surrounded by people you know, and yet you felt like in some way you didn't quite fit, you didn't quite belong. Have you ever been there? It can be an uncomfortable thing. And yet, the Apostle Peter, who I'm sure you know is one of Jesus' closest friends, he wrote a letter to the early church in which he tells us that for a Christian, for somebody following Jesus, that feeling should be expected some of the time. There should be times when we feel out of place. There should be times when we don't quite fit because we don't belong to this world. We belong to Jesus. And there should be times when what we feel like is aliens visiting another planet. And that's the title that we've given our new teaching series. As we look at that letter that Peter wrote to the church, which of course is in our Bibles, it's called 1 Peter. Some Christians have taken that phrase about being aliens and strangers here on earth. I took it as being aliens because I like my sci-fi films. Some Christians have taken that as meaning, please be as weird as you can possibly be. I don't think that's what Peter had in mind. So we're going to explore over the next 2 or 3 months, we're going to go through that book a bit at a time, and we're going to explore what does it actually mean to be aliens and strangers, which is what Peter calls us. What does it mean to be aliens and strangers here on earth? And that's going to start right now.
Brilliant. Well, welcome again and Happy New Year from me. New Year's Day is a day of hope for me. I love New Year's Day. It's one of my favourite days in the year because it marks a fresh start. It's a new beginning. It's usually the day before I return to work. It's usually the day my Christmas decorations come down, and there's none of the coming year yet lived. So I'm filled with good intentions and resolutions for what lies ahead, and I haven't had a chance to fail. Yes, I am one of those people that always decides that I'm going to draw a line under the Christmas excesses, I'm going to eat better, I might even do a tiny bit more exercise. And it reminds me of a story that Nikki Gumbel tells. Nikki Gumbel being best known for Alpha Course, he says that he belongs to a squash club that's also a gym. And he says every year on January the 1st, they bring in extra gym equipment. And on January the 7th, they put it all away because everybody's failed in their resolutions and they're back to normal. I wonder whether that resonates with any of us here today. January the 1st, I mean actually every day is a fresh start, but January the 1st is a particular type of new beginning, and it's like a doorway into the season or the year that lies ahead of us. It gives opportunity to lead a new and improved life if. And there's the rub, if. If there are shifts and changes in our hearts and in our minds and in our habits and in our attitudes and if our behaviours, if we can do these things. And New Year aspirations aren't just personal. We've literally just made our New Year covenant promises to each other in our service. And if, and again, here's the rub. If we put these into practice, we will become a new and improved church family. If. And if is one of the smallest words in the dictionary, but isn't it such a loaded one. And actually, it appears over and over and over in the Bible. It's used by Satan to taunt us and to discourage us. When Jesus went into the wilderness after his baptism, he's tempted, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to be bread. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. All of this I will give you if you bow down and you worship me." And it's also used by God to remind us of our responsibility towards him and what he will do. He will if we. The Bible reminds us to be wise about the choices we make. All these blessings, it says in Deuteronomy, all these blessings will come to you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. In 2 Chronicles, if my people who are called by name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. In Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. In Luke, if you had faith like a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And in Romans, Paul writes, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If, it is such a loaded and a full and a rich word. So today we start a new year, standing on a threshold, wanting, intending to become a new and improved church family, and maybe we have already committed with resolutions and so on to become new and improved individuals as well. In the first few verses of 1 Peter in chapter 1, Peter tells us why it is good to have a life grounded in Jesus. So if you've got a Bible with you, I'd encourage you to turn to 1 Peter. I'm actually going to read it from something called the Easy to Read version, so it won't be quite the same as the Bible that's on the chair in front of you. But if you use electronic versions, you may be able to go over to the Easy to Read version. And I've done it simply because it's easy to read. So Peter starts, greetings from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's chosen people who are away from their homes, people scattered all over the areas of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. God planned long ago to choose you and to make you his holy people, which is the Spirit's work. God wanted you to obey him and to be made clean by the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I pray that you will enjoy more and more of God's grace and peace. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has great mercy, and because of his mercy, he gave us a new life. This new life brings us a living hope through Jesus Christ's resurrection from death. We're just going to pause there. Because Peter reminds us in these opening verses that it takes Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to bring each and every one of us to faith. We were chosen by God before we were even born. He set his love on us before we knew anything about him. But our personal salvation is based on more than just his love. It includes the work of the Holy Spirit, which prompts us to say yes to Jesus, yes to his invitation to follow him. And of course, as we've celebrated over communion, Jesus had to die on the cross to make our relationship with God possible. One writer puts it like this: as far as God the Father is concerned, I was saved when he chose me in Christ before the foundation of the world. As far as the Son is concerned, I was saved when he died for me on the cross. But as far as the Holy Spirit is concerned, I personally was saved one evening in April 1980 when I heard the gospel and I responded to it by receiving Jesus into my heart. We are saved by God the Father, by Jesus the Son, and by the work and our response to the Holy Spirit. And Peter, in these opening verses, says, look at what you have been born into. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have given you a new life and a living hope. But the wonder of our salvation isn't just a past event. It isn't just something that happened when we became a Christian, when we said yes to Jesus. There's a future focus on our salvation too. Excuse me. Peter says, now we wait to receive the blessings God has for his children. These blessings are kept for you in heaven. They cannot be ruined or destroyed or lose their beauty. God's power protects you through your faith, and it keeps you safe until your salvation comes. That salvation is ready to be given to you at the end of time. And so our living hope is that there's more to our salvation than just putting our faith in Jesus. Our living hope is that there is a salvation which is secure in heaven with God himself. And that salvation, the fullness of salvation, is when we enjoy forever the absence of pain and sadness and sin and temptation and regrets and failures and lack of anything we might want. That is our living hope that we are looking towards. And speaking of our future salvation, Peter continues in these early verses in his letter. I know the thought of that is exciting, even if you must suffer through different kinds of trouble for a short time now. These troubles test your faith and prove that it is pure. And such faith is worth more than gold. Gold can be proved to be pure by fire, but gold will ruin. When your faith is proven to be pure, the result will be praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ comes. You've not seen Christ, but you still love him. You can't see him now, but you believe in him. You are filled with a wonderful and heavenly joy that cannot be explained. Your faith has a goal, and you are reaching that goal, your salvation. And so in these few verses at the beginning of Peter's letter, we have such a rich description of what our salvation is, what our salvation will be, but also the essence of our human experience of challenge and temptation and all the stuff that pulls us down while we are living life. You know, suffering is so unpleasant, isn't it? But Peter reminds us it doesn't need to be as random as it sometimes feels. Peter says, if we hold to a living hope in Jesus, we can experience an ongoing salvation from the influence of sin in our lives and our feeble responses to the battles we face. If we have a living hope, which comes from faith in Jesus, we can walk in a holier, more honouring way. If we have hope, we can fulfill those promises we have made. If we have hope, we can walk in a more harmonious way with one another. If we have hope, we can submit to one another. We can learn to one another, from one another. We can support one another. We can overcome challenges and the battles that go on within us and around us. If we know Jesus Christ as our Saviour. And for some of us today, hearing this is such an encouragement because it reminds us of when and how we were saved, what we have been saved to, and how Jesus promises to save us, as it were, from ourselves as we live in the current days that we are living in. But for some of us, we might not be sure that we are a Christian. We might not be sure that we even want to be a Christian. And if this is you, can I encourage you to come along to our Alpha course, which starts in a week and a half or so's time? Because if you do, you might find your life changed forever. If. We might have had quite a difficult start to the year already. After all, we've had a week or so. We might have had issues and troubles from last year that are going to continue into 2023. We might be feeling really uncertain about this year, or we might be feeling a week in we're discouraged because we have already blown our good intentions and the aspirations that we had for a fresh new start. We have to be realistic because we do get it wrong and we will get it wrong. Sometimes we just won't feel good enough and life isn't always going to be what we want it to be. These are very real and they're very painful things that are going on around us and they go on within us. Peter doesn't expect us to gloss over what it means to live in a broken and a damaged world, but he says you don't need to be discouraged by it. You don't need to be pulled down by it. You don't need to give in to the accusatory statements that others or even we ourselves might speak over our lives. Things like regrets. If only I hadn't. If only I had. If only they had or hadn't. We don't have to be drawn down by words of despair. If only I wasn't cursed with this personality trait or these weaknesses, or if only they weren't. We don't need to be drawn by the lack of resources that we think we need. If only I had more money, or a better friend, or a husband, or a wife, or dot, 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 fill in the gap. We don't need to be pulled down by the troubles that we face. If only my health was better. If only my job was better. If only I didn't have the problems that I have with my family, whatever it might be. Peter speaks into the troubles and the challenges and the temptations and sufferings we face, reminding us that whilst they might be very present and they might be very real, our salvation and all of its blessings is held by God. And this is our hope. Blessings are not held by us and by our effort, by our successes, nor are they destroyed by our failings, because they're held in heaven by God himself. God is for us. He is for us in 2023. He was in 2022, and he will be in 2024. And Jesus' work on the cross and his unfailing compassion unshakably holds within us. Our salvation from sin is secure, and the full salvation we will find in the life to come is certain. And while we are here on earth, the Holy Spirit wraps himself around our lives and he bubbles up from within us. And he promises to intervene in our lives in such a way that we will become more Christ-like if we let him. And that is our very real challenge today as we set our faces towards 2023. If. There's a story of a man galloping on a horse. No, the man wasn't galloping on the horse. The horse was galloping, and the man is sitting on the horse. There is a story of a man riding, that was the crucial word, a galloping horse, giving the impression of being on an important and an urgent quest. However, when a bystander calls out, "Where are you going?" the rider says, "I don't know. Ask the horse." And my plea to you and my commitment to myself is this year we not be like that rider that gives the permission to the horse to lead the way. You know, the troubles that we're facing or our reactions or our responses to issues that we're facing. Our commitment is not to be like that rider that allows the horse to decide how we're going to respond to the struggles around us. Our commitment before God, to ourselves and to one another, is that we can hold to that living hope that we have as believers, and we can ride that horse intentionally, allowing it to take us to the direction in the direction that we want to head, and to arrive in the places that we want to be at. So this morning, let's not run headlong into a new year. Let's remember who we are in Christ and whose we are. Let us remember where our hope comes from and who our hope is held by. As TBC, let's be intentional in what we choose to do this year if we hold to what we've promised to do, if we pick ourselves up when we fall down, if we remember that our salvation is not based on us, but on God and what Jesus has done and the work of the Holy Spirit, we will be a new and improved church family this year. So let's pause and reflect on what Peter's got to say. And then I'm going to ask you to stand. If you know Jesus as your Saviour, you have hope. And if you have hope, you can grow and change this year. If you have hope, you can walk better with others. If you have hope, you can be transformed because you can overcome the challenges and the battles and the suffering that you are going through at the moment or what is around the corner this year. And if you fall or fail, God and the Son and the Holy Spirit will be there to pick you up. If we know Jesus as our Saviour, we have hope. So let's stand just as I pray some of these verses over us. What a God we have, and how fortunate we are to have him, this Father of our Master Jesus. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we have been given a brand new life, and we have everything to live for, including a future in heaven. And the future starts now. Lord, as we stand before you, would you plant this truth in our hearts today? Would you remind us that you are keeping careful watch over us and keep us looking forward to that day when we will have it all, life healed and whole. And while we wait, keep hope alive in you within our lives. Keep hope well watered in our souls. Give us all that we need to fix our eyes on you this year. May everything good from God be ours in 2023. Amen.